right across the Don Burke allegations here in the catch-up today. Not looking good for him, I'll tell you that much.
There's some troubling bestiality allegations, weren't there?
Very troubling, very troubling. The PM, Rich Uncle Mal, joins us as well, Cavalli.
Yeah, he was not as... I thought he'd have more to say about Don Burke, but Moon must have written the jokes before it happened.
Because he didn't say anything.
No, he was careful and circumspect. Can I just check Prince Harry? You all saw him this morning. Have a look at him there on the front page of the Bulletin. Happy. He looks, he's lost his sparkle ever since he lost his joy.
Well, you're right across this, Bales, of course, because he just got engaged to Meghan Markle from Suits.
Yes. That's what I mean. He doesn't look happy at all.
He lost his sparkle because he's gained a Markle.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's great radio.
There you go.
That's rhyming.
There you go. Well done.
But Excuse me.
After
you
years,
started it.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to. I just went, he's not smiling. Every photo you've seen him in the last 10 years, he's been smiling, spraying his seed around all over the joint of the world. And all of a sudden, you have another look at the pictures from him this morning.
He's nervous. The world focus is on him.
No, someone's finally captured him. He's got like a dog that's finally had the first. It's like a wild horse that's had a saddle put on him. It's like a dog who's had the collar put on for the first time.
Right, going, so the Queen said, enough, enough, Harry, come on. It's your time.
Yeah, stop spraying it.
Stop spraying it. That's what the Queen said to her grandson. She said, Harry, stop spraying it around.
Yeah. Oh, I remember Prince Philip. He was the same as you, Harry, and we
I'm sure that's a conversation they
and
had.
And now he has those gastro problems. I have to say it to Prince Philip.
Gastro problem?
Pull your jaw. Remember Prince Philip? He's always having gastro problems.
Is he reheating his KFC?
Stop spraying it.
That's from yesterday's catch-up. She missed
like a Bali volcano.
Yeah, we talked about that too.
Very good segue. Enjoy the catch-up.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
Okay, so when the Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey stories broke overseas, I reckon there were a lot of people here in Australia just wondering quietly to themselves, were there any Australian TV and media personalities who could be responsible for the same sort of thing? Well, it's now been revealed that there's been a huge amount of allegations slammed against Don Burke from Burke's Backyard. And last night it was on A Current Affair and it was also on the 7:30 report. But let me just replay this grab we did of Tracy Spicer's because I think it actually kind of sums up what a lot of people have been thinking. Basically, she is putting herself out there as the representative for people to anonymously come to her if they feel that something has happened to them, and she said this.
I expected I'd get perhaps a handful, a couple of dozen women responding. To this day, 470 people have come forward, 95% of them women. It's been overwhelming. The name that kept popping up again and again and again was Don Burke.
Give me a home amongst the gum trees.
And so for those who maybe don't know, Don Burke's show,
Don Burke?
Burke's Backyard, was on Channel 9. It was a huge rating success. Won a bunch of Logies. It was the precursor to things. It launched a number of people who've gone on to Block and everything else like that. It was the lifestyle show
on
television.
You said to me before, Jamie Dury was launched on it. Scott Cam was launched on it. Dr. Chris Bondi Brown, the Bondi Vet.
Yeah.
He was Australia's number one television personality.
Was
he
the number one show on television full stop? I never noticed TV in those days.
It was enormously popular in a time when things that got, you know, regularly got well in excess of a million viewers.
All
absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
I was aware that he wasn't a very nice people to humans. I didn't know about sexual harassment and
a
stuff like this allegations. Well, he was too.
I'm prepared to cop the fact that I might have terrified a few people or whatever and so on. And that I shouldn't have done that and so on. But these sort of things bear no relationship to who I am and what I'm about. And there are plenty of people from that time at Burke's Backyard that were there that have come to me and said, how can they say this? They're furious.
Okay, that makes my blood boil. At some point, mate, you're going to have to say sorry. Sorry.
It's too early. But he's blaming the Twitter sphere, isn't he?
You know, with all these Twitter things and that, there's some pretty interesting Twitters coming in to anyone who said a nice thing about me at the moment. It's a terrible time.
Not Don's fault.
Don's the victim here. Let's not forget that. Don's had someone's tweeted him something that's not good. Look, these are, you know, they're allegations at this point. You have to keep saying that. But they are, if, you know, Tracy Spicer is to be believed, it seems as though the overwhelming number of that have come towards Don. Now, at one point in the...
Robin is so upset about this.
I watched it all last night, but even just listening to that, like, if you can stand there and say that you terrified people and yet in the same sentence not apologise, how bloody dare you? Yeah, but who are you?
Hang on. But he was allowed to behave like this. Let's not forget that.
that does not negate personal responsibility.
No, it doesn't. But I'm saying, Robin, if you're talking about how he can say that, he can say that because for however many years he was at Channel 9, so long as the ratings were good,
they didn't care.
What the hell did they care what he did? They couldn't. They clearly, as long as the figures were going the way they wanted, they could not care less.
And he says he can't even remember.
Who remembers exactly what happened 30 years ago? But what I know is, as a person who does have ethics, I know what I will say and what I won't say.
All right, let him go. Tracy was pretty tough on him. Did you see Tracy?
I thought Tracy was great.
Can you guys remember things that happened 30 years ago? Of course you can. No. Everyone can. Yes, you can. Really? You can't remember things that happened 30
years ago? I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can remember if you're a mongrel to someone.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless you're a mongrel to them all the time. Like, and that's acceptable.
You put your hands on enough T-shirts and tried to pull bras off and stuff. Mm. They all get, I can't remember which one it was. It's not a footy game, mate. Like,
yeah, he's...
Anyway. What about this one from Tracy? She knows more than we know. Where did this come from?
I've worked in television for 36 years and most of them in prime time, and it's been robust, and no one's ever showed me a donkey bestiality video or tried to pull my bra off. Mm. Or
I've never actually seen a donkey bestiality video. I've never owned one, and I would never show one to anyone.
That's got a bit weird there. That sort of came from nowhere.
But the thing is, too, that a donkey bestiality video from 30 years ago would be on a VHS. So you don't just go, well, because we didn't have Gurgle. Someone would have had to have physically taken it, put it into a machine and press play.
No, it would have been at the end, so I would have had to rewind.
Hold there.
What you would have had to have done is gone and borrowed one of the JVCs they were giving away on Australia's Funniest Home Videos in the prize cupboard. So hang on, can I borrow this for a minute?
It's just all unbelievable. I have one more. If you didn't,
hang on, I want to jump in. Let me jump in quickly because there was one of these tweets that he doesn't like from Autism Awareness Australia. It says, quote, Autism Awareness Australia is sickened tonight by Don Burke's excuse of undiagnosed Asperger's as a reason for his appalling behaviour.
Oh, my God.
That's their tweet. You go, you're right. How much lower can this guy sink?
He's trying to hide behind autism.
He is a complete narcissist.
Never been diagnosed. He has his own self-diagnosis. Give me a break.
Does he remember about this one?
With your ribald sense of humour, might you have said to this young television writer that you liked seeing your young relative rub her body parts up on the back of her horse?
Never anything like that. No. Absolutely not.
Jesus.
Well,
he didn't let Tracy finish. Like, hang on, Tracy. Let Tracy get to the end of the allegation before you go, no, I didn't do that. So Don didn't do anything, guys. According to Don didn't do anything.
He did make some good mini terrariums, though, if I can remember correctly.
Okay, I think it's safe to say I'm the only one that's excited in this room about the royal engagement.
No, I love Prince Harry.
Oh, now that's a revelation.
I can remember when he was... Remember when he came out for the 2003 Rugby World Cup? I don't know if you do.
Yes, I do remember that.
He went and worked out west, okay, at a property.
Yes, at a property,
and
yeah.
I knew those property owners. I knew the parents of, and then he started seeing their daughter. She had a house. She worked here at Triple M as one of the street teamers, all right?
Whoa.
All right. So he was hanging out a lot, if you know what I mean by hanging out a lot, at her house at Indooroopilly, and all the royal police had that house surrounded at all times.
Where in Indooroopilly?
I don't know, somewhere near the shopping centre. Somebody said to me, this girl, she used to still come in here. She'd do her shifts. But then she was doing a lot of hanging out with Prince Harry.
Wow.
Very impressed. And he's been fantastic since then for me, I reckon.
Well, for those that haven't caught up with the great news, it means you haven't read the paper because it's the first six pages. Anyway, an announcement was made earlier this morning from Buckingham Palace that Prince Harry will marry Suits star Meghan Markle.
When's it on?
Thank you.
When's it going on?
They're saying that there's two public holidays in May in England, and they're thinking that it's probably going to be around one of those.
Oh, Bucks Party would be a beauty.
Oh, and also,
he knows also, so many people, like all the army mates, his footy, rugby, his cricket. Oh, he is loaded with pals.
Oh, is he ever.
So what can I tell you about the engagement? Because I'm guessing this will probably be the only time you'll be interested.
No, we're going to do some, I've got some jokes at 8:10. So what we thought we'd do now is...
You've got some ready to go.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to steal his jokes. Well, then jokes. Let me give you my theory.
Tell me about her. Tell everyone about her, because we ran it in the quiz and no one knows who she is. Okay. A lot of blokes don't know.
She's an American. Well, actually, she's Canadian. It's shot in Canada too. A TV show called Suits. She's one of the main characters. Her character will now be written out. They were set up by Blind Date. Anyway, the theory I have about her is that when you look at her, and as I did this morning and watched the royal video of them making the announcement and her sitting there holding his hand very tightly, she looks a lot like Catherine, who's married to Prince William.
So he's hankering after his sister-in-law, if that's reality.
Well, you could go that way, but my theory is this, and I challenge this for any bloke to think about within their own partner versus their mother. Both Catherine and Meghan look the exact polar opposite to Princess Diana. Now, my theory is that women tend to go for the physicality of their father. That's not to necessarily say they look exactly, because that's weird, but, like, you know, my dad was a really big man and the people that I have been with are big men. I feel safe in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Blokes do not at any point want to end up with anyone that looks like their mother. Fair call?
Yeah, my wife doesn't look like my mum. Not at all.
My wife doesn't look like my mum, no. You're
there
right.
There you go. So, thought of this thinks.
Before. But you're right with the girls. They always like to go someone like their father, unless their father was an arsehole.
Well, exactly right. And then they might go the polar opposite. But if you look at both Catherine, like, don't you think Meghan Markle and Catherine, Princess
Catherine,
first thing
Catherine, I
thought
when I saw
exactly the same.
Not exactly, but similar. Brunette. Yeah.
And they're
both
not
just sort of brunette.
Yeah, but they're brunette, but they also have a similar sort of facial feature. It's not just the hair. The whole,
but
think
they're just pretty brunette.
You pointed out to me before in the paper. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Is that Meghan Markle's father? He's got red hair.
He's the ringer.
Oh, this is going to be some good throwback stuff.
We got one.
And her mum's African American, and of course, African Canadian. They're all making the thing that this is going to be the first biracial royal family. It's all very exciting. So there you go. So that's my theory. I want you to think about that during the day, boys.
Now, if anyone, men that are out there today, any bloke that's listening can think about their girlfriend / wife and what their mum looks like, and try, you know, and see if that theory holds water. I think it's interesting.
Might be a few breaks ups in Brisbane today.
You look like my mum.
Oh my God.
I'm going to have to leave you.
Just like a.
It's Marto and Robin on Triple M.
Australia got over the line easily in the Ashes, the first Ashes test. If you don't know, they got the runs without losing any wickets. Warner and Bancroft undefeated at the end of yesterday to win the test. Are you all clear on that?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, of course we are.
Yay.
The big story then in the press conference, because I had a mate in one of the presses, I kept ringing. He said, hold on, mate, this press conference is going forever. There's a fair bit going on. And I never got back to him, but I realised now it was all about this Cameron Bancroft being headbutted by Johnny Bairstow, the red-headed wicketkeeper from England, the first night that England arrived in Perth. So Western Australia, if you don't know the story, Western Australia won the game. This is about 3 weeks ago. Western Australia had just won a Shield game. England had just landed in Perth, and they did a bit of training, and then they had their first night fever. They all went out to a pub, and the Western Australian Shield players joined up with the English players, and a lot of them had played IPL together, and they know each other. So they had a pretty good night.
Mm.
All right, and then there was the incident. So come Sunday, Davey Warner has bent down near one of the Triple M stump mics, and we used it. I don't think Channel 9, it never went through on Channel 9, but Triple M used it and made some allegations. He directed them towards Jimmy Anderson, the pace bowler. Here's Dave Warner.
Shouldn't headbutt our mates.
I know it was a bit messy there. Shouldn't headbutt our mates. So no one knew what that meant. But what happened then is one journo picked it up and then said to another one, do you know what this is? Then the spread, you know, the gossip that goes around cricket was quite enormous. And finally they went, no, there was something happened over in Perth one night. And now it's come to this, this is how Cam Bancroft, what a legend this bloke is.
How fun is he?
How tough and fun is he? Cam Bancroft?
Just greeted me with, just a headbutt kind of thing. So I was expecting a handshake, but it wasn't the greeting of choice that I was expecting. Certainly no malice in his action.
See, many girls do this.
No.
Just headbutt each other.
No.
Can I? How you going?
Well, I have no, more importantly, do many blokes?
No, I don't think so. I know some footballers who do, if they've been friends forever.
They headbutt each other.
Yeah, and they'll punch each other in the ribs without the other guy being ready, because that's deep old friendship. These blokes have never met before, and he's given him a tap.
Oh, I thought they had.
No.
They both
knew each other's friends.
Oh, because Hanscom had played with Bairstow in England. They played for the same county.
Yes.
So they were sort of, okay.
So and they told each other about, so they knew of each other. So it was Bairstow obviously being a bit silly. He didn't. Now, just for everyone who understands what a headbutt is, a proper headbutt is when you headbutt someone in the nose, you smash their nose into the back of their brain and they fall over unconscious.
The Glasgow kiss.
That's a proper one.
Great.
That's why you should be arrested for that one.
I did that to my mate.
Yeah. Well, no, they just butted, you know, the hardest bone in your head is the forehead here above your eyes. So they butted that. Obviously, it went on. But
it's been beautifully blown out of proportion. Oh, it does seem wonderful. Like... Compared to, like, David Warner threw an actual punch at Joe Root a few years ago, and this is getting much more play than that did. And it's quite a good tactic from the Australian team because it worked.
Oh, yeah.
It worked.
It got into their heads. And
it got into their heads.
After he's done this, that's when they started to explode. The biggest thing is, and I know cricket is overserviced with maintenance and fitness experts, did you know that they weighed their heads? Listen to Cam Bancroft, because he waved it off. He said, oh, it's no problem.
No, he didn't, like, knock me over. I've actually got the heaviest head in the West Australian squad. It's been measured. There's an actual measurement for it. So, just took the blow quite well and then moved on from it.
That's the greatest.
He can be in the team for 5 years for that statement alone. We've uncovered something here. He's got the best nickname in the team too.
What is it?
They're called Gary Lyon, which I hate. The Gary Lyon thing, it's like that's very Victorian. It's very, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here,
what's right? Bancroft?
So, his nickname is Bangers.
Bangers.
And no, he doesn't like
Who
sausages?
Doesn't want to go out and throw a headbutt at Bangers? Bangers. How fun is that?
He's going to be everyone's mate. Can I just push one line here? Now, here's Trevor Bayliss, who's the coach of England. Okay, so he says this.
Yeah, and we've just got to be smarter. And if that means, buddy, not having any the drink, well, then so be it.
Here's the conspiracy theory. Johnny Bairstow, what colour hair, Ed?
Red.
Ben Stokes, who hit those two blokes outside the pub and is awaiting a decision on whether he can come
here. Ginger.
What were they both doing when they got into trouble?
Having a drink.
Redheads drinking beer in the who play for the English team. Obviously, Ben Stokes shouldn't be allowed in Australia. It's quite clear to me.
Dang. Turn back the gingers.
Yep. Send them to Manus. There's some spare cells.
Hi, Gary Megan here. If you know me, then you know that I love everything about food. And now I'm sharing that love with my podcast series, A Plate to Call Home. Listen now on Podcast One as I speak to fascinating people about the innovative things that they're doing in food and, of course, share their stories. If you're into food, you'll love my podcast, A Plate to Call Home. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Ed Cavalier, I think Greg Martin has killed our intern. He's not here today.
He's not here today. Jack, our intern, who comes and helps us out of a morning, and then something weird happened the other day as he was leaving. Marta said to him, I'll see you at home. And we're like, whoa, what's going on? And then Jack told us that he'd been employed as sort of slave labour at Marta's house.
No. What's happened? I'm pretty busy at the moment. I'd set myself some targets to paint the house, as I do most years.
Do?
And I can see the end of the year coming up, and Jack was short on work. And, he's an intern here. He doesn't get paid. He's doing it for the work experience. So I'm just helping him out.
Yeah, Brendan,
have you got the sting ready? Just we're going to need it.
Absolutely.
What sting?
Dodgy.
Oh, get out, mate. Listen, you've tried this before. Yeah. You notice Jack's not here today. Who's paying for that? You two with no coffee. Jack often gets your coffees. He's not here because he
you
can't afford
him.
It.
Don't distract.
It was a near incident.
Yeah. Tell us what happened. Be honest.
How'd he die?
He didn't die. He's at my house right now. He said, do you mind if I work a full day, as in today?
Tell us what happened. What actually happened to him? He's had been injured. What's happened?
Well, we've all seen the ads on TV, haven't we? Look up and live.
Oh, my God.
It was close.
Oh, Jesus.
Scaffolding? What did you do?
And I realised, because I got home yesterday, and I said, mate, how were you doing it, putting the trestle up? Yeah, those big A-frame trestles, and then you have planks with plank clamps, et cetera. Thanks, City High. You know, I've done it all professionally. He didn't notice the wire above, and he came within not far of...
What?
Give it to him.
Dodgy.
Well, why am I copping dodgy, mate?
What do you mean, why are you copping dodgy?
You are the one.
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't.
So you're not even supervising your own work. Give it to him.
Dodgy. We go through. We have a careful workplace statement every afternoon. We go through what we're looking for.
Find out what happened. And just remind everyone, for those who are thinking, oh, maybe I'm on Marto's side here, remind everyone what happened to young Jack the other day when when you forced him to go and paint the neighbour's side.
That was a one-off incident. That hasn't occurred again.
Just say.
Oh, he was painting the balusters on our pool fence because I'd re-erected it. It looks quite good. You should come over. He went over the other side because I realised I hadn't done the neighbour's side of the fence because that's my responsibility. Well, he was painting away and their staffy filled his shoe full of urine.
Urine. Dodgy.
A dog weed on him.
You've got to be thinking too as well, Eddie's been made to drink from the pool, which is...
Dodgy. One day only. I left the door open yesterday and invited him into the house. Well, he hasn't been in there yet.
So he's up near the power line, sopping wet because he's been drinking from the pool. And we all know...
With the wee through his shoe.
Which is... Dodgy.
Yep. Stop with the dodgy. How are you, Jack, if you're listening there? Keep it going, son.
Yeah, yeah.
Hurry up, you missed a spot.
Dodgy. Hands up.
So the first test won by 10 wickets by Australia. It was a lot closer than that, particularly on day 2 and 3. And to give us his rap, the captain of the Triple M commentary team, when he shows up to work, that is Kerry O'Keefe. morning, Skull.
Captains don't have to be punctual.
No. How late were you for day 1? Was it 4 hours?
5.
Just the 5 hours.
Got slaughtered by my airline in Albury, New South Wales. Just cancelled the flight at 6:30 a.m.
Jeez.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Mick Malloy's used that one a few times. That's fair enough.
But it's the skipper who shouldn't do it. I remember when players used to turn up late to the game and jump on and field it square at fine leg, hoping Richie Benno didn't see him. They're true too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Well, mate, what did you make of it?
Oh, mate, a very well-taken victory by the Australians. You know, they won the clutch moments. And as you guys know, in sport, the big moments, you've just got to take them. And Australia did. England had their chances. I mean, they won the toss on a flat pitch, were 4 for 246. They should have got 450. They got 320, a low. And then the second dig, the pitch was at its best when they batted. They should have got 350. They got 195. So they just lost the big points and lost the match.
And then they kind of gave up.
They did. I mean, none for 173 is a stunning victory. But I think it's amazing. Philip Hughes died 3 years ago. This fantastic young fellow at 25, but the emotion is still raw in that dressing room.
Isn't it?
They wore black armbands, Bancroft and Dave Warner, yesterday. Everybody would have worn a black armband if they'd gone out to bat. They won, but they did it for Phil. I know it's a cliche, but they actually do it for Phil. On the anniversary of his death, they haven't lost a test match.
What do you reckon about Cameron Bancroft? Are you a fan like we are of his toughness?
Oh, a huge fan. Technically, he's the best opener in the country. He covers off stump. He covers fifth stump. And he gets his head outside the line to hit down the ground.
Ooh, yeah.
He doesn't nick to second slip, head inside the line. Mate, we've got a good one here, and I think he and Warner are going to bat well together. Not saying it's going to be Hayden and Langer, but it could be close.
Who's Matt Renshaw?
No, I've never heard. I don't know. Okay.
Hey, well, can I just check one thing? Skull, you would have seen the press conference, but I'll just replay it. Cameron Bancroft asked about getting headbutted. Here's his response.
No, he didn't, like, knock me over. I've actually got the heaviest head in the West Australian squad. It's been measured. There's an actual measurement for it, so... Yeah, just took the blow quite well and then moved on from it.
Skull, measuring heads, did this always go on in your day?
Mate, it's the modern era, isn't it? Everything's measured.
Well, I thought they just measured for his hat or his helmet.
They must weigh the bloody thing.
Oh, they do the pinch test and all that. Everything's measured. But the lesson's clear, boys. You can be a teetotaler on a night out, meet Johnny Bairstow, and wake up with a sore head.
Thank you, Skull. Kerry O'Keefe, we will hear you the next test when it starts in Adelaide. Thank you, Skull.
Thank you.
Okay. It is the Christmas period. It has officially started. My wife produced a sort of like a Santa's outfit for our 11, 12-week-old baby yesterday.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, cute.
No, I said technically that's incorrect because he wouldn't be Santa because Santa's in charge. If he can be an elf, perhaps. Yeah. But
An elf's cuter anyway.
No one's going to put a 12-week-old in charge of the whole toy-making situation.
This is madness.
This is insanity. What are you doing? And she said, shut up, it's cute.
What did she use? Like, was it the beard or the hat or the outfit?
He had a little Santa's outfit. Onesie. It was a Santa's outfit with a little
Santa
hat.
Onesie, yeah, right.
Yeah, it was very cute, but it made no sense thematically. And, you know, we can continue to argue about that off air. But it did make me realise. I said, where'd you get that? She goes, online. I said, why don't you go to the shopping centre? She goes, no, the car parks are going to get ridiculous now.
So true.
And it made me think of, what's my favourite shopping centre in Brisbane?
Indooroopilly. But you only go there for the food court anyway, and you've got to get punished in the car park.
Since they've put in that arrowed way, one way,
what have they done? Sorry, so update me.
Oh, well, they did a big renovation on the car park where they put the boom gates in so that you can only park for 3 hours or less.
I'm not even going to go back through my text messages. A mate of mine, a logical man, he's a plant operator, okay? He went there. He said it took an hour and 15 to get out of the car park.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
Oh, it does?
Oh, it's horrendous. I can't stand it.
It is such a wonderful shopping centre that you're always like, well, it's going to be a nightmare. But it's the scales of justice.
Is it worthwhile going to Indooroopilly just to spite yourself with the car park?
It's making it harder.
Yeah, go to Mount Omni. Mount Omni is equidistant.
Mount
Omni? What's Mount Omni got?
Mount Omni's got almost the same. It's got a big Kmart. It's got a big W.
Has it got a good car park?
It's got a great car park.
It's really spread out, though.
Yeah, it's really spread, but you won't lose your car and you don't have an arrowed system. See, I went to Chermside for the first time in a long time.
What did you think
of
Chermside? That's mine.
Chermy's good. Chermy's good.
It's so big. Yeah. You just get lost. I think Chermside as a shopping centre is amazing, and I think all the time and money and energy they've spent on it, but the car park, lordy, lordy, Miss Claudia.
I didn't know we were going to go down this track of car parks, but I tell you, it's not bad. The one at Forest Lake. I don't mind their car park. Is that what we're talking
about? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the worst car park in Brisbane.
Mine at Newmarket's horrific because they've just built a new cinema there on the corner near the pub. They've been building the cinema and all the builders have stolen car parks, but it's not going to get any better. If they make your shopping centre busier but don't make the car park bigger, you're stuffed.
I remember the one at Lutwyche. What's that called, Brendan? Lutwyche Central or something? What's it called?
I don't want to keep bagging shopping centres.
I love the shopping centres, but the car park there was good. That's what I'm saying. It was easy.
Remember back in the old days with Toombul that when you could park down on the lower car park and if it started to rain, you'd get the added bonus of having your car flooding away.
That's not a good thing. They've maintained that.
Let's do it because this is the season. It's already started on the weekends. It's getting busier and busier and busier. Best and worst car parks in Brisbane and why? And there's so many.
Who's your worst again? Tell me.
Look, it's Indro.
Yeah.
Because it's my favourite shopping centre, but it is the hardest car park to get in and out. I remember one time I went to see a movie there and I think I was one of the last cars to get out of Indooroopilly. And I just forgot where it was. And if you forget where your car is in Indooroopilly, you may as well.
Is that right? You're both not happy with it.
No. And they tried to improve it by putting in this sort of arrowed system and it just confused everyone.
Made it worse.
What's the problem? You don't remember which door you went in or?
No, because inside the shopping centre you get disorientated and then you go, hang on, where was I? And then when you go back down, they go, on what level? Because they've all got these little sub-levels. Anyway, it's a nightmare.
That can happen at Chermside as well occasionally.
Okay.
Can't work out how you got in there.
John of Willowen, what do you reckon?
Howdy, folks. I think you're missing the worst one of all, which is the Myer Centre car park. Oh, yeah,
it's a deep one, the Myer Centre. It goes down a long way, doesn't
it? It's about 20 levels. My wife used to go in there, and I'd get a phone call hours later, the car's been stolen, and I'd be...
Again.
Nope. No, it's not. Go on. Have a look around. You'll find it. Yeah, and... Awesome. There would be a guy with a golf cart who would drive her around until she eventually found the car.
Oh, that's a good car park. A dude who's helping you.
A little buggy that takes you around to find your stolen car.
What was her problem, just not remembering the level?
I got no idea.
No, you know what it is.
The smartest woman I've ever met. Yeah. And,
except for car park.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about the My Car Centre.
No, no, I'll tell you what the problem with the My Car Centre is. Is there's two levels of lifts. So you can actually get the lifts that go directly into Myer.
Yeah.
And then you can get the lifts that are in the centre of the centre. And if you get in the wrong one, you come out at the wrong place and you have no idea where you are.
It's a new planet that you've just landed your spaceship on.
It's a new planet. And, John, as much as we laugh at your wife, it's so stressful. When that happens, does she get upset? Does she cry?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I know. She's it's crying. Awful.
And don't cry about
it. Think how
car.
Evil it is that someone steals your car, moves it somewhere else, and then, you know.
You still have the keys. It's amazing.
John, you're going to enjoy telling her you got on radio this morning to talk about her, aren't you?
Good one. I'll just be in trouble.
Yeah, no, it's worth it.
What's the name again? For her. Stop it.
Okay.
We've all done it.
Not tell them.
Thank you. Well done.
Kate. Is Kate there? Kate from Stone's Corner.
Yeah.
Is it best or worst?
It's the worst, so definitely.
What
beats Myer Centre. Toowong Village.
Ooh, it's a bit tight, Toowong. I'm finding it gets a bit tight.
It's everything about it's bad. It's a rabbit warren. And if you try and come out of there any time after about 4 p.m, you get stuck on the bottleneck going onto Coronation Drive.
Yes, you
and
do.
You sit there and
so you,
you
never get
there.
Out.
You never get out.
Because it's that three-way at the RE. And if there's lights at the bottom of the car park, there's also lights going on to Coro Drive. I agree with you, Kate. It's a shocker.
It's only a matter of time until someone dies.
I don't know about that. He's gone all AM.
Yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Carbon monoxide. Did I sound like Alan?
Yeah, you went all AM for a moment.
Someone will die.
Mick of Jindalee, have you got a good car park or a bad one?
No, it's another bad one. They all suck, don't they? Because you've got to pay for parking. That's terrible.
Fair enough.
That's the other thing, isn't it? Like bringing in the paying thing. You're like, I'm more likely to stay longer if I know I'm not paying. I'm going to stick around longer. But what happened to you?
I'm going to back up the first guy. My centre is definitely the worst car park in the world. Ooh. I parked my car in there one day for work. I went to retrieve my car and my vehicle wasn't there. It did get stolen. Took me two and a half hours to find my car. The guy who stole the car couldn't get the car out because he didn't have a ticket.
Oh, he just parked it somewhere else.
The front gate. Yeah. Two and a half hours of my life.
It genuinely did happen. And so someone stole your car and their joyride consisted of driving up to the gate and then just
Did you leave the keys in it, Mick?
Oh, I actually had a spare set of keys in the glove box.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that old
trick. Never do that again.
Yeah,
no. Well, what kind of person steals a car? I'm assuming the car was worth over like 20 grand. What kind of person steals a car, goes like, great, I got a car, and then gets to the ticket gate and goes, well, I don't have the 16 bucks to get out without a ticket. I better leave this car here.
We're in Australia, buddy.
Yeah, welcome to Australia. Right, there you go. Well, do we have anyone that called up to say that they is a good car park? Best. Browns Plains Plaza. There you go. Because they have four-wheel drive car parks, Marto.
Oh, my God. That's the way. My car park at Windsor, I'll give them a wrap, near Brett's Hardware. It has trailer parking, like four car parks for blokes with trailers or girls with trailers or their caravan on. That's a real car park.
Wow.
Well done, Browns Plains.
If I was doing the trailer, though, I would manage to get it across at all four of those spaces.
Yes. Oh, you're going the wrong way.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Trevor Long from EFTM.com.au. Last time we spoke to him, he was hurtling along the road in a Tesla. Did that go okay, Trev? You made the journey. What was the journey you were doing in a Tesla?
Brisbane to the Barossa, fully electric, 2,684 Ks. We nailed it.
And it was all good?
Yeah, it was good. It's interesting to see, you know, how often you got to charge, how the charging process works. And it's not like a normal road trip because you do need to plan it a bit differently. But you know what? I got a good bacon and eggs breakfast every morning while the thing charged.
Okay, so what happens if you did run out and you're in the middle of nowhere? It's not like RACQs have chargers, do they?
Well, that's a great question for the future, will they? But look, there's a power cable under the bonnet, which you can plug in anywhere, you would never get to zero because you'd be at 10% going, oh my God, there's no proper charger. I'm going to need to pull in somewhere. And worst case scenario, you pull into someone's house or a farmhouse and you plug in. But it's so smart. It tells you, like, you set your nav and it says, we're going to Adelaide. It'd say you have to stop here, here and here.
Oh,
and when you stop here, you have to stop for 50 minutes. When you stop here, you have to stop for 10 minutes. It would tell you where to stop, how long to charge for. And there was no anxiety in the last 2 days. None at all.
Has anyone on-sold a Tesla, like they've bought it new and sold? Is there a Tesla used car market yet?
There is. There isn't a, you know, you don't get them from a lot, but there, if you go to the Tesla website now, there's used stock there. So you can buy a brand new one or you can look at the stock of existing ones. So, yeah, there's been plenty of sales because they've been in Australia for 2.5 years now. Oh, okay. So plenty of the wealthy are moving on from their originals and moving up to the next one.
Hey, Trev, we've got to ask you about Amazon. That was one of the main reasons we got you on. So it has launched in Australia. It hasn't launched in Australia, and it doesn't seem retail's completely collapsed as yet. What's happened with Amazon so far?
Well, here's the thing. The rumours were they were going to launch last Thursday or last Friday, and it hasn't officially launched. There's been what they call a soft launch. There's a few. We don't know whether there's 10 or 100 or 1,000 people in Australia who've got access to Amazon. Their warehouse in Melbourne exists and there are staff there. But I spoke to someone who's been to the warehouse just a week before it opened and they could see no robots because Amazon's all relying on, you know, automation. I go to the website and I don't see anything other than books. So the hype is real, but the facts are that Amazon hasn't launched yet. And it could well be Christmas before they launch, and I don't think it. I don't think the retail will collapse because do you know who they're taking on first up? eBay. They're taking on
eBay. That's who they really hate. They hate eBay.
They're taking on people who are selling stuff through eBay and they wanted to sell it through Amazon. It's going to be a few years before retail has to worry about Amazon, in my view.
Just for very, very, very quickly, we do have to let you go. There's a local guy, Gold Coast guy, who's put his home up for sale and you can buy it in bitcoins. You can buy it for 500 bitcoins.
No, 100.
100 bitcoins.
100 bitcoins. They're now worth 1,200 each, so it's $1.2 million house.
Well, you know what? I'd keep the Bitcoin. At this point, the Bitcoin's looking like a better investment than the property, but it could crash quicker than the property. So it's a good risk for anyone to take. But if I had the Bitcoin to buy that, I'd hold on to it for a bit longer.
Righto.
Wow. There you go. Trevor Long, our tech expert, EFTM.com.au. See you, Trev.
Cheers.
Well, if you got a bit of a surprise with the Don Burke allegations, went, where did that come from? It all just popped out of the air. But the reality is ABC and Sydney Morning Herald have been conducting an investigation for a while, and at the lead edge of that is Kate McClymont from the SMH, the Sydney Morning Herald. Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
How long have you guys been working on this?
Look, for quite some weeks now, and it's been quite an arduous process in going through credits, tracking down people that worked with Burke, getting other people to, pass on names, information, celebrity gardeners, members of the public. God. It's been really exhaustive.
So was it? It is initially in response to the Harvey Weinstein, but then is it from the list that Tracy Spicer put together when she asked women who had had similar things happen to them? Is that the response?
Yes, and I think this is what is fascinating is that veteran TV journalist put out a call on social media saying, "Look, hey, I'm going to have a look at whether we've got any similar things happening here." Not only was she inundated, but there was a common name that kept reappearing, and that was the name of former celebrity gardener Don Burke.
In your article, I'm just reading on the Sydney Morning Herald website, more than 50 people interviewed during the investigation have made serious allegations about Burke's action. More than 50, Kate, that is a staggering number.
I know, and then since the story went public yesterday, I have received hundreds of emails from, Qantas stewards, from farmers, from dog breeders, from former people who worked with Burke, all coming, not all of them, some are minor complaints, some are major complaints, but it's the same pattern. It's inappropriate sexual language, groping, unwanted sexual advances, right, and just widespread bullying and harassment.
You would have seen last night him appearing with Tracy Grimshaw in A Current Affair, yeah?
I certainly did.
What do you think about that? Because have you spoken to him?
Look, we've been corresponding via lawyers.
Of course.
We did have a very long written response from Don Burke, in which he alleged that our story was, you know, just baseless rumours, and that they were coming from a handful of former disgruntled employees. And I cannot tell you how far from the truth that is. For instance, Olympic swimming legend Susie O'Neill has gone on the record today saying, listen, I was one of those people. He came to my house. He made the most unbelievably crude and inappropriate comments to her, which her manager then complained bitterly to Channel 9, but nothing was done. These aren't just former employees coming out. And the other thing that I think upset a lot of people was when Don Burke said that he had self-diagnosed Asperger's. Well, Twitter went wild with, you know, the Autism Association saying that, you know, sexually predatory behaviour is not anything associated with Asperger's. So I think that's been really upsetting for people as well.
Hey, Kate, Tracy Grimshaw at one stage talked to him, and she said in 36 years, I think one of her quotes was, 36 years of TV, at the pony end of TV, I've never been approached to being shown a bestiality video. What was that? That was a really specific and weird thing.
Well, yes, so Louise Langdon, who is now a psychologist living in the US.
Yeah, saw
her.
She
was a researcher. Yes, she was a researcher for Burke at both his radio station at 2UE in Sydney and also on Burke's backyard. So one morning he insists that she watches a video, and it is a video, it's bestiality. I mean, we spelled out what it was.
Whoa.
She said she was horrified, disgusted, and she said, what kind of boss would do that? And she said the interesting thing was that the joy that he got from watching her horror was one of the things that disturbed her most. He really enjoyed her discomfort and revulsion. So, and look, this is, other people have come forward with similar things and similar comments that he has made, but it's pretty bad.
Kate, the other one was the two bosses of Channel 9 at that stage, Chisholm and Leckie. I won't talk about personal experiences here, but they're pretty rugged men. They're claiming he was the deplorable human. When is somebody going to front up to them and say, why didn't you do anything?
Look, we did ask them that, and their, you know, one's comment was that, look, oh, we only heard it secondhand. And Sam Chisholm, you know, when he said that to me, I said, then he said, and we dispensed of him. And I said, yes, you dispensed of him after 17 years.
I don't think that's
actually dispensing of somebody. And look, it is that thing whereby it's money triumphs over everything. People are prepared to turn a blind eye. They are prepared for other people to suffer as long as their cash cow keeps making them money. And I think that's the horrific thing behind all these claims.
So, Kate, is he going to face any charges? What happens now?
Look, some of the people that he is alleged to have indecently assaulted, some of them have gone on the record and have been prepared to put their names to it. It's up to them to go to the police. Unless there is an actual complainant, the police won't take it up. So I don't know what those women's view is to as to whether they want to take that step. I'm just not sure.
Okay.
All right. You can read all about it in the Sydney Morning Herald today. Kate McClymont, who wrote the article, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
I get home from work yesterday morning and I'd kind of forgotten that kids were on holidays, and then I open the front door and I see two smelly shoes and, two pairs of socks over the couch, and I'm thinking,
festering holiday makers.
They're up. They're still the same socks they were wearing yesterday. Yeah. They wore them to bed. They've just got out
same
of bed.
Same undies on.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we haven't started regulating screen time, and that will come. But at the moment, it's just first the glory week. Of being on holidays and kind of doing what they want. And downstairs, we've got Xbox set up, and FIFA is the game of choice.
Wonderful.
And they love it. And depending on how things are going, you know, you hear screams and yells and, you know, spontaneous bashings.
I didn't even know it was start of their school holidays. I realised schoolies had been on. But yeah. I look out yesterday and same thing, two boys over the road from us chasing each other around with a leaf blower. One was.
Oh, there you go.
They've already lost their minds on day one.
But we were making dinner last night. I hear this absolute and that unmistakable sound of crashing glass. Oh. And I go downstairs and there is my middle son who I've got one of those big yoga balls that you can, you know, you sit on and stuff. And he likes to play FIFA on that yoga ball because he can kind of bounce around and move and, you know, do what he wants to do. Right. Anyway, he's obviously got overly excited as Messi was going for something and he's shouldered himself into the glass door and is now halfway through the glass door with jagged pieces.
It.
Yeah, gone right through it.
Oh,
but it's that thing where he's, thank God his head's on this side, but there's all these really sharp shards of glass.
It doesn't just shatter like a windscreen, does
no,
it?
No, no, no. And jagged I'm sitting there edges. Thinking, I'm going to have to get you out of there, buddy. So I'm screaming at him not to move.
Stop.
As we're just trying to manoeuvre back. But I'd just like to say, day one, smashed window.
Are you saying no cuts? No cuts?
No. No, we did have to, you know, his brother was threatening to tickle his feet, which wasn't helpful.
Oh, God. Wow. That's a bunch of loonies. Hey, you've done well there. There's not very often you go through a plate glass window and don't slice yourself somewhere.
I thought all glass doors had to be shatterproof glass, but clearly not. Anyway, I'll be ringing someone today.
You maybe they do now, but they didn't
they
used
didn't
to be.
They didn't at the time.
No,
yeah, so. Well, anyway. So I can't wait for day five or even week three. Woohoo!
Smart Ed and Robin on Triple M.
I tell you where conditions have been a little bit tough, and that's on the island of Bali because the volcano has erupted. And there's flights cancelled. They've closed Denpasar Airport. So not only is it like, okay, some flights cancelled, some flights getting through, that's it, they're done. And now airlines are offering passengers trips to other cities, Marto, in case instead of getting back to Townsville, you can go to?
Fiji, Singapore, Phuket or Tokyo.
Oh, Tokyo would be interesting.
Pretty good options.
Yeah.
All right, well... All right.
I actually don't care about Bali anymore. But what about if you're stuck over there? Did you see some of those people last night going? Yeah. Some of them were going, I don't give a stuff. I'm happy to stay here.
It depends if you're at the airport or not. I mean, I know Tom Hanks made an entire movie about living in an airport, but seriously, not overly fun when you're stuck there.
Well, all stuck in Bali. My brother-in-law got stuck in inverted commas last time this happened and he was meant to be going to the airport every day to see if any flights were leaving.
And
his version of that was to sit on his surfboard at Airport Reef and surf.
Oh, where the planes
came off. Yeah, and then he could see up in the sky, oh, no planes, I better keep surfing. So being stuck when you're on holiday, it happens sometimes even when you're going locally. When you're being, if stuck on holiday, it can be good or bad.
What about in the floods? You drive up north, next thing you know, there's a flood and you get stuck in like air or somewhere like that, the Burdekin.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes it's good.
This is what I want to talk about. If you've ever been stuck on holiday somewhere, I want to hear about it because I want to hear good stories. Maybe
it's ringing the boss.
That's what I mean.
Volcano. Boss can't argue. It's there on the TV screen.
There's nothing else that can be done. Oh, sorry. All right. Well, I better stay here then. Is that a pub I can hear? No. I'm at the
embassy. Nope. Just waiting.
I'm at the embassy. So 133353. Have you ever been stuck on holiday? Was it weather?
Oh, glorious.
Was it flights cancelled?
Were you in Antarctica and your boat got iced in?
Yeah.
When the big freeze hit Europe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, couldn't fly anywhere about that.
There you go.
There's another one.
New York. I was at New York when they had the blackout. I remember that, and people couldn't get anywhere.
What'd you do?
I had a good time.
In the dark.
That's what Australians automatically do. Extra holiday.
59,000 people are now affected in Bali. And what, 440,
a leftover there?
Well, they're just saying affected, so that might include locals.
Coming.
But 445 scheduled flights have now been cancelled. 445, that is so many people. So have you been stuck when you've been on holiday in the past?
Just think of all those kids that went to Bali for schoolies.
Schoolies? Oh, jeez, yeah, they would have run out of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Calavormo, where were you stuck?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I was stuck on Kentucky Good Sunday Resort back in 1988 when the pilots dispute was on. It was called, it's called Long Island now.
So
I was stuck up there for, I went up for a week's holiday, got stuck up there for an extra week. We ended up hearing about a chap that was flying a little four-seater Cessna from Mackay to Brisbane. We rang him up. He flew up to Shute Harbour, picked us up. We flew into Rockhampton and down to Brisbane, but it was a real roller coaster ride. He was flying through all the cloud formations and up and down. We had a carton of beer sitting in the back, and windows were open. It was a fantastic way to get back. I'd love to do all that again, but yeah, that was a drama. Not a lot of people did get back to wherever they came from back then.
Yeah, that's the thing. And do you remember at the time, Kel, do you remember thinking, oh, good, bit of extra holiday?
Yeah, it was great because there was so many people that tried to get onto buses and things like that. So that extra week I had, there wasn't many people on the island, so we were getting free everything. skiing, jet ski rides.
Free jet ski. good stuff.
Thanks, Kel. And Sharon of Carina, where were you stuck?
I was stuck in Honolulu when September 11 happened.
Oh, right.
And American airspace was all closed, wasn't it?
The day that it happened, I was actually supposed to be flying to Kauai for a day trip, and that got cancelled after second pickup. And then the flight that I was supposed to come home on was actually taken for John Howard as a plane to get home.
What?
Jeez, okay.
Where was he?
He was in America. I remember
he'd been,
that.
He'd been in America or something, and then they took the plane that we were supposed to fly home on. And then had to wait a couple of days, and then we found out there was a plane on standby. And when we got to the airport, you got out the bus, and there was just fully battle-clad guys at the airport with machine guns. And
scary, huh? Scary.
Yeah, and we had to sit on standby, so we had to wait probably about 3 hours to see if we got a flight home. And luckily we all did, and there was a Qantas pilot who got halfway across America with his family, and they were last on the list because Qantas have to fly last. And so eventually we got off, but I think it was about 7 hours before we took off because they took extra precautions, checking the plane and everything.
Oh, that's scary. That was such a scary time.
I got back to work and everyone's like, oh, it's a perfect place to get stuck. And it's like, hello, do you realise it's the biggest, military base? And so,
good point.
The perfect place to get stuck on a tarmac waving as John Howard leaves. Fantastic.
Marto and Robin on Triple M.